Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. The Holy Spirit says, "Separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work I have called them." I want you to know that God Himself teamed up Paul and Barnabas for the first missionary journey, as we commonly call it, in Acts 13 and Acts chapter 14. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Look at verses 26 and 27. "Faithful brethren may have a wonderful track record of working with one another." When you look at 14, 26, and 27, they are commended to the grace of God. And it talks about the partnership, not just of Paul and Barnabas, but the partnership of Paul and Barnabas with the will of God. When you look at verse 27, that God was with them, and that God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. You talk about a marvelous team. As Paul and Barnabas worked together and as they relied on God, He blessed them immeasurably. And many congregations were planted and many souls were added to Christianity. Oh, but that's not all. Then we get to Acts chapter 15. And in the opening verses of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas stand side by side with other leaders of the early church, standing against a view that would require Gentiles to submit to circumcision and obedience to aspects of Judaism. Paul and Barnabas are together on all of these things. As a matter of fact, when you look at verse 36, rather verse 26 of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas are both referred to as beloved. I'd circle that. These are two of the most godly, most loved, most appreciated individuals in the early church. They are leaders. They are God's men. Lesson one, faithful brethren may have a wonderful and positive track record of working with one another. Lesson number two, godly brethren may desire to continue working with each other and have much in common. Look at verse 36 especially. It is suggested after the Jerusalem meeting, as they are going to go and have gone to places reporting the results of this Jerusalem meeting, that we can't bind circumcision and aspects of Judaism on Gentile Christians. After that's all done, let's go back and visit congregations that we helped establish on the first missionary journey. One of the things we did was appoint elders at all the churches, Acts 14, 23. Let's see how the churches are doing under their oversight. There is complete agreement on the part of Paul and Barnabas that this would be a marvelous thing to do, and undoubtedly it would lead eventually to an extension even more of the Lord's church and even more souls being brought into the kingdom. They are both absolutely on the same page. It is important to bring out the fact that brethren who have a great track record, a positive track record of working together, desire, they long to keep on working with each other. There is no problem in what each is desiring to do. That is interesting enough. Now, if you will, lesson number 3. Faithful brethren may be hindered in working with one another due to strong differences in personal judgment. Faithful brethren may be hindered in working together due to strong differences in personal judgment. I want to say this as clearly and as plainly as I can. This was not a doctrinal difference. This was not a matter of Ephesians 4:4-6 and things like one faith, one baptism, one Lord. There was not even a difference in what to do next in service to the Lord. They agreed on that. This was a personnel difference based on personal judgment. It was a personnel difference based upon personal judgment. When you look at Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41, that is most obvious. So let's rule out altogether the idea that this was on the part of one of them, some type of doctrinal deviation, going out away from God's will. It has to do with personnel and with personal judgment. The team. What's the team going to look like? Who's going to be on the team? And the text tells us, as you listen to Milton read it, when you look at Acts 15, 36 through 41, Barnabas desires to take John Mark. He desires to take him. The terminology is quite strong. He's kind of bound and determined. That's close to what we might say. Bound and determined. And then if you're looking at Paul, it says Paul is insistent that John Mark not go on the second missionary journey. You read the text, and Dr. Luke, who through the Holy Spirit pens this document, says something about Paul's thinking. He did not think it best, he did not think it wise for John Mark to come. Why? He had left them in Pamphylia before. That's Acts 13:13. To put it in our terminology, since the World Series ended last night, baseball illustration, he had not really even gotten to first base in the first missionary journey. Acts 13:13, it begins early in Acts 13, and by verse 13, he's already going back. They had not been able to count on him in the work, the passage goes on to say. Faithful brethren may strongly differ with one another in matters of personal judgment. So this is not a matter of the faith, it is a matter of personal judgment, automatically putting this into the context of a passage like Romans chapter 14. Got it? Everyone understands so far. But this is described in the New Testament, brothers and sisters, as a sharp contention. This disagreement between Mr. Encouragement in one corner and Mr. Apostle to the Gentiles in the other becomes, to put it diplomatically, rather heated. A rather heated exchange. And as a matter of fact, the Greek word that is translated strong contention, strong disagreement, is found in Acts 17 and verse 16. When Paul saw the city of Athens completely given to idols, his heart was provoked or stirred. There was just this strong emotional provocation there, provoked. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, love is not easily provoked. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, a positive sense, provoke one another, stir one another up to love and good works. Same expression, basically. But this sharp contention, if we look at it medically, and sometimes the term is used in a medical sense, this has to do with a person that's got a high fever or is suffering from convulsions. How strong is the disagreement? I'd say it's at a feverish pitch, and both men are having to exercise considerable self-control. Sound agreeable? It is a sharp contention. Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Paul does not on the second missionary journey. It's a matter of personal judgment concerning personnel on the team, players on the team, not doctrine. Three down, number four, a fourth lesson. Faithful brethren on both sides in a difference a personal judgment make very valid points. In a matter of personal judgment, brethren on both sides make very valid points. Y'all listening? Barnabas would say something like this, and let me make a case for the case of Barnabas. Let's let him go. John Mark was young. He left us. I don't condone him in the decision that he made in the first missionary journey, but doesn't everyone need a second chance? Shouldn't everyone be afforded another opportunity? Paul, we need to think about what the work will do for the individual. We need to think about what the gospel can do for the man. And I still see something in John Mark, and I suspect that you do too. We need to encourage him. Imagine Mr. Encouragement wanting to encourage. He might even say, after all, Paul, and back in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and following, 26, 27, I stand up for you when people were questioning you. You're questioning him now, and it's only consistent and right of me to encourage him. I always love getting to a passage like this because what many a Bible class wants to do is ask the question, who's right? And guess what? The Bible's right. And the Bible doesn't tell us who's right. And you're speaking where the Bible speaks whenever you make a case trying to determine who's right here. Y'all got that? When the Bible thunders, God's people ought to thunder. And when the Bible whispers, we ought to whisper too. And then think about this. Here's Paul. Paul says, we need to think, Barnabas. I understand what you're saying, and I am so grateful for how you treated me in times past and how you want to treat John Mark now. But we need to consider what the man can do for the work. There's a place to emphasize the needs of the individual, but there's another place and a grander place for emphasizing the need of the work itself. He let us down before when we had just started going to these places. Now we're going to go back to the same places. What kind of message are we going to be sending those brethren if he leaves us again? And just as Barnabas might have said to Paul, you know, I took you aside and I introduced you to the brethren and encouraged you when you needed it. Paul might say, Barnabas, we've worked together for a long time. God has blessed us. And yes, you're an encourager and a tremendous servant of God, but by place and position, I'm an apostle of Christ. Don't you think you ought to listen to me here? And Barnabas might just say, well, whenever Peter and I were in the wrong and were behaving hypocritically, didn't you just correct an apostle and Mr. Encouragement? And it could get deeper and more difficult. Both of them are making some very valid points. Ah, then somebody who thinks that you're smarter or more godly than men like Paul and Barnabas will say something like this. Couldn't they have effected a compromise? Couldn't they have come up with some other plan that would have been mutually satisfactory? Okay, if both of them have dug their feet in and they're not going to be moved, here's how it is. Maybe they could have agreed to send for John Mark later. Let's get started, see how things are going. Let's send for John Mark later if we need him. Maybe they could have thought of this, y'all. Well, we're already going to have someone like Luke on the team. He's one of the personnel. He's somebody we can count on. You get to Acts 16, Timothy's going to be involved in things. Acts 16, early verses. It seems to me like Timothy is equipped in every way that John Mark may not have been. Paul would say, I don't have anybody like-minded to him. Philippians 2, 19 through 24. Let's let him come along, and any deficiencies will be made up within the team itself. Somebody could have said that. Maybe, just maybe, somebody would have said these things. They might have said, let's let him go, but put him on probation. Let's let him go, but put him on probation. And it's kind of the thing, if you mess up, you don't have to worry about going home. We're sending you home. Now, all of those, when you stop and think about it, I hate to put it this way, but Paul and Barnabas are far more godly and better men than Mike Vestal. And they likely are wiser and more godly than the people who are sitting in the pew listening to this lesson tonight. Don't you imagine that they thought of every possible scenario to be able to keep working together? And several that you and I haven't mentioned or thought about? Don't you think they prayed about this? The point is, faithful Christians in a matter of judgment may strongly differ, and they may strongly differ, and both make very valid points. That brings me to lesson number 5. Due to differences in personal judgment, brethren, faithful brethren, may no longer be able to work together as they had before. Due to differences in personal judgment, faithful brethren may no longer be able to work together as they had before. It typically is the case in the brotherhood when personalities run high in matters of judgment, that it creates a lot of friction. In the case of Paul and Barnabas, their personal disagreement with one another led to the doubling of God's work and it being able to go more places than they had initially intended in Acts chapter 15, verses 36 and following, when they talked about where they were going before. It leads to more team members. It leads to more personnel. It leads to more congregations. It leads to more seeds being planted from God, for God's Word. It leads to more Christians. Was it stressful? Yes. Was it possibly even embarrassing for a while? I suspect so, Scott. Because you've got two awfully godly men who differ with one another strongly. Neither wanted to hurt the church, but because of a difference in personal judgment, they had to go different directions. But still with the same God, the same faith, the same doctrine. Tell you what, wouldn't it be great every time if that happened in the church? Lessons learned. Now, lest someone want to lean toward the position that Paul was right, then you have to deal with passages like Colossians 4, verse 10, Philemon, verse 24, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, where Paul himself writes, "Bring John Mark, he's useful to me in ministry." Unless you just say, well, Barnabas is completely right and Paul's kind of stubborn and obstinate. Generally speaking, the needs of the many and the needs of the work will always supersede the needs of the individual. One of the things that our elders have got to think about, what's in the best interest of the church? What's in the best interest of the church and the work as a whole is greater than the emphasis on an individual. To care about individuals and to know when to really reach out to the individual, but not at the expense of the whole and the work of the whole, that requires an awful lot of wisdom and prayer. Sometimes we wonder why things happen in the church. Think about this young Cody. And sometimes it's because we've got men who are pygmies and who are little, who are fussing about things they have no business fussing about, and they ought to shut their mouths. Sometimes it's a matter of the faith. But in Acts 15, these are two men that had stood together when it was a matter of the faith. So that tells me there must be at least sometimes when in a matter of personal judgment, godly men who love the truth may differ. May we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4, verse 3. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, Philippians 1, 27. May we contend earnestly for the faith, Jude verse 3, be set for the defense of the gospel, Philippians 1, verses 16 and 17. But may we always reflect the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I hope one day in glory to visit with Paul and Barnabas. Good, great, godly men, but I wonder now, this side of eternity, if the strong contention that they had back then, and knowing now what they what they didn't know at that time. Would there be anything that they regretted? So speak and act, and I'll guarantee you this, as an older preacher now, sometimes it is hard. Y'all never believe it, but Mike Vestal was a fireball when he was young. But with age has come some wisdom and some discretion, I hope. I don't want to do anything to hurt the body of Christ. No one should. No one should. Giving an account for that, abusing the bride of Christ, nobody wants to give an account for that. Thank you for listening. We're going to stand and sing our song of encouragement. You've listened well. Appreciate your attention. Powerful lessons from Acts 15. May God bless us in our living and loving as a result of this study. If you're not a Christian through faith, repentance, and baptism, come to Him this hour. If you are a Christian and yet your attitude has hurt the Lord, has hurt your brothers and sisters, and is hurting the church, stop it. Please do. We can work together. And what God can do through us will amaze us all. And all we'll do is praise His name even more. To God belongs the glory. Let us stand and sing.